Last week, I got ready for Christmas in a most unexpected way. You see, I received a moment of clarity that I did not see coming. But then I guess that we rarely do see those moments of clarity before they hit us. Perhaps it's better that way. Otherwise, we might duck or turn aside. I was driving up to All Souls for our early morning service on Sunday. The sun was just beginning to crest over these East Bay hills. It had rained the night before, so the streets and the sidewalks were still wet. And I drove south here on Oxford, coming towards All Souls, and I came to the corner of Oxford and Vine. And there, huddled in on the corner, surrounded by bags of belongings, food and clothes and other possessions, I recognized someone I knew. Someone I encounter regularly, someone I care about. My guess is that she had spent the night there or very close by, sheltering as best she could from the rain and the cold. And I realized in a clear and piercing moment, there's my neighbor. As in, she lives in the neighborhood. Not in an apartment or in a house, but she lives here. And in a way that is devastatingly vulnerable and exposed. And my heart broke. Now, for context, I've been working alongside many people in and around this parish for years now to build affordable housing for elders. And it's been a challenge. For there have been some folks, some neighbors, who find this possibility to be a threat to their homes, to their lives, and to this neighborhood. And some of the fear has been articulated as people coming in from the outside, as to those people being a danger to those who already live here. And I believe this is part of what inspired this moment of clarity, because in fact, she lives here already. But at present, she lives here in a way that puts her in great danger. And so these are the two truths that collided in my heart, breaking me open. And in a really unexpected way, this is what got me ready for Christmas. Tonight, I'd like to start with where Luke's gospel leaves off, in the manger, with Mary treasuring the words of those strangers. And the text tells us that she ponders them in her heart. She's pondering them in her heart. Because in that silence of her pondering that Mary is keeping, while others are outwardly amazed at the story of these strangers, Mary's pondering is something that I recognize deeply. And the word pondering doesn't quite capture it. And so at the risk of getting into the weeds here, I'd like to share some of what I learned about Mary's pondering, because the language in the original Greek here is unusual, and I hope that you find this half as interesting as I did. The word here in Greek is sumbalo, and it means to throw together, right? Sum as in together, and balo as in to throw. And in the entirety of the Greek New Testament, it is only used, this word is only used 6 times, but each time in the books of Luke and the Acts of the Apostles, which we believe were actually written by one author. But what is so interesting to me is that when we translate this word, sumbalo, into the English, we translate it differently each and every time. Curious. So here, in Luke's second chapter, this sumbalo is translated as pondered. But in its other uses, it's translated as to make war, or to encounter, or to debate with, or to help, or to meet. You see, because it's the result of throwing things or people together. How is it that this one word stretches to so many meanings? And in the end, what might it mean for us tonight? My sense is that what Mary is experiencing with this sumbalo of things thrown together is what happens to all of us at different times in our lives when things come crashing together in our heart. Like when strangers tell you your child was proclaimed to be the Messiah by an angel, which is just what you hoped for and the very thing you feared. So if you've ever loved a person enough to want to protect them, then you know what this is like. It's pain and sweetness at the very same time. And it's staying with it and the trust that God is in the middle of it all. That's why we hear this story, because tonight, on this holy night, Mary stays with us in this silence. What about the strangers who led Mary into silence? Well, they were shepherds, lowly, distrusted, smelly shepherds. How is it that shepherds, of all those gathered there around the town of Bethlehem in those days, how is it that the shepherds would be the one to receive this heavenly witness of peace? It really shouldn't be this way. Now, we have heard this story how many times? More times than we can count. And it is so easy for us to say, well, of course it's the shepherds. Every year it's the shepherds. But if you were actually looking for reputable witnesses to some of the most important news ever to be delivered, shepherds of the first century, even if you were checking it twice, would not be the first on your list. In fact, they would be the last. You see, they were permanently and perennially on the outskirts, camping in the brush. They couldn't even have their testimony held up in a court of law. The shepherds mattered so little that the empire didn't even bother counting them. People on the margins are rarely counted. So then why? Why would shepherds be the ones to hear and to tell? I think it's because this good news of great joy is best heard by those who need to hear it most. Those of us without what Emily preached yesterday, those of us without the privilege of control, they can hear best that our wholeness and our salvation is close at hand. So maybe that's why, when the fields went dark again after the light, why the shepherds could not help but share what they had just received. Because the news that there is hope, that there is joy, that the Anointed One is among us, this is wondrous news indeed, if we can listen long enough to hear it. Tonight, on this holy night, we tell this story because the shepherds lead us into wonder. And then, why is it that biblical proclamations of great joy often follow the words, "Fear not"? Many years ago, I came across a defining image for me of this moment in the fields with the shepherds. It was from an illustrated book about Christmas. And this one moment took up the totality of the spread of these two very large pages. It showed a night sky, and in the foreground, almost in the lower left-hand corner, was this little band of shepherds with their flock. Like maybe this big. And then on the opposing page, almost filling the entirety, was an immense set of glistening wings. And all around it, a blinding light that shattered the darkness. Fear not. Whether or not that is what the shepherds saw that night, I am sure that this artist had helped me feel some of what they felt. My sense is that what they were experiencing when encountering that angel was awe. The throwing together of fear and wonder. The experience of something that is so immense and so profound and so real that it is truly awesome. It's a feeling that makes you small because it is so overwhelming. It puts you in perspective, but in a way that offers relief. And it is known by a joy that you cannot hold back. And yet, I have found that it is really hard to praise God or to encounter that kind of joy when we are afraid. So the divine messengers, they always ask us to let go of our fear so that wonder might remain. Which for me is why I am grateful that we encounter this text again tonight. In a nation that is so often driven by fear, in neighborhoods that find it hard to hope, we need the angels to remind us that this is the essential news. And it is the gospel. And it is that the good news is a true source of joy. Tonight, on this holy night, this is why we hear this story. Because the angels show us the source of joy. There are many ways to come close to the mystery of Christmas. And we have gathered here this night because God looked at a hurting, complicated world, a world that looks much like ours, and said, "This is where I am going to dwell." And the witness of Mary and the shepherds and the angels has been with us ever since. Even when, especially when, we don't have words, unto us a child is born. Even when we stand there slack-jawed, unbelieving, unto us a child is born. Even when the night sky is at its darkest, unto us a child is born. And that is why seeing my friend on the corner of Oxford and Vine helped me prepare for this night. And trust that it's actually in the midst of these complicating factors, when we are met with sorrow and pain, that we can still sing this holy night. It's why joy can resound. For this holy night, this simple manger, this fragile infant, will take whatever we bring, however we bring it. In the silence of our hearts, in stunned wonder, and a joy that somehow manages to hold our heartache and our loss, that's actually what this night is about. That it's when our hearts feel thrown together, when our lives are out of our control, in the midst of our fears, often when we least expect it, it's in this Emmanuel, this God among us, that we find the true pathway to joy.